When the summer rolls around, the Padres will be playing right here. For now, you've got us. Padres Social Hour,
the off-season edition.
Coming to you from the AMR studio.
All right, welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United, off-season show number one. Been too long. Congratulations to the World Series champion, Kansas City Royals. I don't even know how they lost a game in the World Series. I don't know how they didn't go 162-0. Watching them in the World Series, it was like, how do they ever lose?
Right, that was amazing.
Crazy.
No matter what the score was.
Didn't matter.
When it got to the last game, it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to come back.
No question. All right, let's talk a little bit more about this Craig Kimbrel trade to the Boston Red Sox. We were just going over some of the prospects, and now we're going to get a little bit more information on them. Ian Brown joins us on the phone. He covers the Red Sox for MLB.com. He's on Twitter, at Ian M. Brown. That's Brown with an E. We're bringing back the Brown with Ian Brown. Thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it. We were just talking a lot about these guys coming back. Let's go big picture for a second, though. Were you surprised, as somebody who covers the Red Sox and the Red Sox system, at the haul that San Diego was able to get for Craig Kimbrel? And are you surprised that it was a closer that the Red Sox went after?
Yeah, not really in either case. You know, if we were talking about Theo Epstein or Ben Charrington, I would have been really surprised at the haul of prospects that they gave it up. But given the fact that the Red Sox had finished in last place the last 2 years, they brought in Dave Dombrowski, who's been very candid about his desire to really make some impact moves to the team so they can get them back to contention right away. He kind of said all along, look, we're looking for an ace pitcher, and we're looking for some power arms in the bullpen. And he kept saying, you know, maybe the arm in the bullpen will be somebody with closing experience in case something happens with Koji. But all along, I was thinking that they were going to go I was actually thinking they were going to go after Aroldis Chapman. So that might be the only bit of surprise element I had, because I didn't know how willing the Padres were to move Kimbrel, you know, 6 months or, you know, less than a year after they had just traded for him. So I think that you know, this ends up making more sense, because you get 3 years of salary control with Kimbrel, where you only would have had 1 year with Chapman. But no, this has kind of been Dave Dombrowski's MO over the years. He's not shy about trading prospects. He has a pretty good track record about the ones he trades. These deals haven't come back to haunt him. He's at least broken even on a lot of these deals. So I think it's created a lot of excitement for the Red Sox. So.
And that's something they're looking for. The quote-unquote crown jewel, I guess, of the group would be Manny Margot, the 21-year-old outfielder, third-best prospect in the Red Sox system this past season. We've got the very basic scouting report. You know, this guy, along with the shortstop Guerra, they're blocked at the major league level legitimately, which is obviously part of why there was a willingness to trade them away. But two guys Padre fans seem pretty excited about, and I guess that would make sense to you.
Yeah, no, the Padres fans should be excited about this. And look, the Red Sox didn't trade Margot and Guerra because they aren't excited about the type of players they're going to be. The Red Sox are one of the few teams in baseball that has, look, a 23-year-old star-in-the-making center fielder, Mookie Betts, 23-year-old star-in-the-making shortstop, and Xander Bogaerts, who just got 196 hits this year. And they have control over both these guys. I think they have Betts for five more years. I think they have both these guys for five more years of salary control. So, you know, where were Margot and Guerra going to play for this Red Sox team? You know, maybe one of them, somebody could have switched to a different position, but they were dealing from a real position of strength. And I think that this trade, it's one of those classic deals, I think, that made a lot of sense, you know, on both sides.
What, you know, this is Bill Center. What is your take on their arrivability for Margot and Guerra? I know Guerra is a little bit younger. He's another year behind. But when do you see them potentially being ready for the big leagues?
Yeah, Bill, I mean, I can see Margot really being in the big leagues by the end of next season. I mean, this guy is pretty well advanced, and he's going to get a chance, you know, in a more low-pressure environment in San Diego, where, you know, he can maybe take some early lumps. That'll be harder to sustain in Boston, where there's so much scrutiny on everything. And, you know, Guerra, maybe the next year. But I don't think either of these two guys are that far away. They both made great strides within the Red Sox organization. In the time they've been there, the Red Sox have a pretty good development system where their guys seem to do pretty well once they get to the big league. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to be that long, especially Margot. Really, I'd be really excited if I was a Padres fan. That you could see this guy in a relatively short order, depending on how quickly he develops this year.
I saw a scouting report in Guerra that said that he has potential to hit 15 to 20 home runs in the major leagues. Has that been talked about much in the Red Sox organization?
Yeah, a little bit. There's still some question, though, just because I think he's still, he's still so young that you don't know quite how much power he's going to hit for. But I'll tell you this, with his defense, you know, even if he's hitting you, if he's hitting you just 10 home runs, that's still pretty good for the type of defense. Real special defender that Garrett had a chance to be. And I think that, the power could come, but, I'm not completely sold on that yet. I think we just need to see that develop a little over time.
That makes sense, too. I mean, if you're getting a plus defender at the shortstop position and he hits 10 or 12, that sounds like icing on the cake you get to 15.
I'm taking that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ian Brown covers the Red Sox for MLB.com. He's on Twitter at Ian M. Brown. Really appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for the time and the insight. Hope you're having a good winter.
All right, anytime, guys. Hope you're doing well out in sunny San Diego.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that. All right, Ian Brown covers the Red Sox for MLB.com. We spent a lot of time in the last year plus talking about center field.
Right.
And what's going to happen in center field.
And
where
shortstop.
Is the center fielder of the future going to come from? And now you're talking about a guy that could be here late this season and that is a long-term solution kind of guy, not yet 22 years old.
And so I think that in center field now, they may be looking at a platoon of Upton and Jankowski until this guy's ready. Certainly this, receiving these two players, Margot and Guerra, I think changes how they're going to be looking at filling the center field and the shortstop positions on the short term.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's got to. Not to say the Preller alarm couldn't go off.
Right.
And something else crazy could happen.
He could trade these guys. You never know.
He
traded prospects last year. So, and I like we said before, with AJ, you never know. You know he's going to do something.
You don't know what it is.
Right. But these guys seem to be the type of players that he wants to bring in here.
In an ideal world, right? In a world where it all comes up Padres, it all comes up Preller, is your starting center fielder and your starting shortstop for a lot of years.
Right.
Beginning, whether it's late 2016, early 2017, mid-2017, but these are the guys that are going to become those reliable everyday names that every San Diegan knows and roots for. So we'll see. Big thanks to Ian Brown, MLB.com, for giving us some insight. When we come back, we're going to step away from the trades for a couple of minutes, and we're going to learn a little bit more about the new manager of the San Diego Padres, Andy Green. Again, it feels like old news, but it isn't.
No.
And Andy was nice enough to sit down right where Bill is recently and sort of introduce himself to us. Bill, you alluded to it at the beginning of the show. He is an incredibly impressive speaker, and everybody will get a taste for that coming up in a little bit. Meanwhile, more excitement coming up at Petco Park next month, a unique basketball experience. I like that we can call it that. The Bill Walton Basketball Festival. It'll kick off later this month, on the 30th of November, and it culminates on the 5th of December with the basketball game between SDSU and USD. The court will be on the infield here at Petco Park. Tickets are available at Padres.com/bball, Padres.com/bball. Such a cool event right here at Petco. Beautiful downtown facility. College hoops. Legit college hoops right here on the field. We'll take a break. When we come back, you will meet the new manager of the San Diego Padres, Andy Green.